This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news.
There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Hawaii hunkers down. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koschenka, it is Friday, August 24. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Hurricane Lane lashes the big island of Hawaii with heavy rain, even as it's been downgraded to a Category 3 while still out in the ocean.
President Trump again criticizes Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and Mr. Sessions is now fighting back.
Investigators have released a summary of an autopsy performed on University of Iowa student Molly Tibbetts.
And hospitals that guess at the cost of procedures like knee surgery.
When hospitals are kind of building their prices, they're using kind of these rough approximations or proxies, and they're kind of looking at the level of an entire department, and they don't get really specific about costs, which makes those costs really hard to manage.
Wall Street Journal reporter Melanie Evans on why the cost of a knee replacement is such a mystery and what one hospital has done about it. Hurricane Lane has been downgraded to a Category 3 storm, packing winds of 125 miles an hour, but it's leaving its mark. The storm has also been lashing Hawaii with torrential rains, touching off flash floods, landslides, and raging surf. More than a foot of rain had already fallen on the eastern side of the Big Island of Hawaii. Part of the problem is that Lane is moving slowly, hanging around and just dropping rain. Governor David Ige.
Certainly, disruptions in telecommunications of any sort when we have a major hurricane coming through an area is a possibility.
There were no reports of injuries, but at least 14 roads were closed because of flash floods and landslides. Tourists were advised to stay away from a popular attraction on the island of Maui called the Seven Sacred Pools, a scenic cluster of waterfalls and grottos. The latest predictions show the eye of the storm twisting west of the Big Island this morning before glancing past Maui on its way to Oahu, but authorities warn that the islands could still expect to be hit hard. Attorney General Jeff Sessions is pushing back against the latest criticism from President Trump, saying the Justice Department will not be, quote, improperly influenced by political considerations. The president went after Mr. Sessions in a TV interview yesterday on Fox and Friends, saying the attorney general, quote, never took control of the Justice Department, and criticized the former Alabama senator for recusing himself from the investigation into possible links between the Trump campaign and Russia.
Even my enemies say that Jeff Sessions should have told you that he was going to recuse himself, and then you wouldn't have put him in. He took the job, and then he said, I'm going to recuse myself. I said, what kind of a man is this?
In a statement, Mr. Sessions wrote, quote, I took control of the Department of Justice the day I was sworn in, which is why we have had unprecedented success at effectuating the president's agenda. The back and forth, by the way, comes only 2 days after the president's former personal lawyer and former campaign chairman became felons. Special counsel Robert Mueller has now won or assisted in guilty pleas or convictions against a number of figures in President Trump's inner circle during the 2016 campaign, but has yet to prove a more fundamental case of Russia-Trump collusion. What now? Here's Jeff Mordock, investigative and government reporter for The Washington Times. Jeff, what are we seeing?
Well, we're seeing a lot of successful prosecutions from the Mueller team, but none of them seem to link the Trump administration, the Trump campaign to Russia collusion, which was his fundamental purpose when he started.
All right, so at this point, who's saying what? First off, I guess, about the Trump campaign, and secondly, about the Mueller investigation.
Well, the Democrats are saying that the fact that he is racking up these guilty pleas and, in the case of Paul Manafort, a conviction, is a sign that Mr. Mueller should keep pursuing this and that he needs more time to make the link between what's happened in the Trump campaign in Russia collusion. Obviously, the president and his allies continue to point to the fact that nothing he has uncovered so far has linked them to Russia collusion. And if you look at some of the charges, like in the Paul Manafort case, for example, some of those charges predate his time with the president by 5 years in some cases.
So I'm no legal expert, but the amount of time that has passed with nothing concrete that's turned up, is there a reason to think that at this point the special counsel is going to find something that ties Mr. Trump to collusion?
It's hard to say, but even more than the time that's passed, Gordon, it's also cost taxpayers $17 million as of May. So it's not just the time, it's taxpayer money being spent as well. And it doesn't seem like we're going to see anything, at least in the near future. Michael Cohen is going to flip, but what's interesting is he's flipping to the Eastern District of New York. He's not flipping to Mueller's team. And Mueller's team, you know, doesn't seem that interested in that case. They referred it to prosecutors in Manhattan. They don't seem like they're in a hurry to interview him, if they do decide to interview him at all. So that leads me to think that anything he's going to say, I know his attorney, Lanny Davis, has said he knows things that would be of interest to Mueller, but it doesn't appear that Mueller thinks that. So that's his most recent victory, and that doesn't seem to tie to Russia collusion so far. So no, I don't, unless there's something that hasn't been revealed yet, I just don't see at this point anything that's going to change what we've seen so far from the special counsel's office.
We're speaking with Jeff Mordock, Washington Times investigative and government reporter. He's written a piece entitled "Robert Mueller Prosecutions Embolden Trump Opponents But Don't Prove Collusion." How about some of the other convictions that have happened here?
Well, and again, none of these go back to linking the Trump campaign. Rick Gates, for example, linking the Trump campaign to Russian cash. Rick Gates, for example, was charged along with Paul Manafort on banking and tax fraud. He was also charged with lying to FBI officials. You look at Michael Flynn lying to the FBI, George Papadopoulos lying to the FBI. Alexander Van der Zwaan, who was a Dutch attorney, you know, his crime was lying to investigators that were part of Mueller's team. So it's almost a crime that wouldn't have even existed if not for the Mueller investigation. He's charged with lying to the FBI. He doesn't even have a connection to the Trump campaign or Russia. Richard Pinedo of California, he runs a online business that sells bank accounts. He pleaded guilty to using stolen identities to set up bank accounts for the Russians who wanted to meddle in the election. The government even said that he was unaware he was selling accounts to Russia, to Russians, and also he has no connection to the Trump campaign. So there's two people right there in the seven people who've been either indicted or convicted that have no connection to the Trump campaign whatsoever.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Mordock, investigative and government reporter for The Washington Times. Hey, reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, too, with the username at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly as well on Twitter with the username at Gordon Deal. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday. Authorities in Iowa have determined that a woman murdered in rural Iowa, allegedly by an illegal immigrant, died from, quote, multiple sharp force injuries. More now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation released its summary of a preliminary autopsy yesterday, but would not release additional details regarding how Molly Tibbetts was killed or the kind of weapon used. The 20-year-old University of Iowa student's body was found in a secluded part of a farm earlier this week. She'd been missing since going for a run on July 18th. Police have charged a 24-year-old named Christian Rivera with first-degree murder. He's being held in Pawshee County Jail on a $5 million bond. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. A funeral mass for Ms. Tibbetts will be at 2 p.m. Sunday in the gymnasium of BGM High School in the small Iowa town of Brooklyn, about 70 miles east of Des Moines. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Hurricane Lane is bringing high winds and torrential rains to Hawaii. Even though the storm has been downgraded to a Category 3, it has already dumped nearly 20 inches of rain on a northeastern section of Hawaii's Big Island over the past 24 hours. Kirk Caldwell is the mayor of Honolulu.
Lane, while it's been downgraded, is wide and very moist. And it's going to hang around for a while as it moves because it's moving slowly. And that's why we are taking so much precaution here.
In a bit of twisted luck, federal emergency managers got an unusual head start preparing for Hurricane Lane. Due to this summer's volcanic eruptions, key personnel and supplies were deployed well ahead of the storm. Attorney General Jeff Sessions is firing back after President Trump criticized him in an interview on Fox News.
The Dems are very strong in the Justice Department. I put an attorney general that never took control of the Justice Department, Jeff Sessions, never took control of the Justice Department.
In response, Sessions said he took control of the Justice Department the day he was sworn in and will not be improperly influenced by political considerations. Republican Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska also weighed in.
The attorney general's job is not to be a political hack. The attorney general's job is to defend the Constitution and to follow the rule of law, and that's what Jeff Sessions is doing.
In the interview, the president did not entirely rule out the possibility of firing Sessions. A former federal contractor accused of leaking a classified government report about 2016 Russian election interference to an online news site has been sentenced to more than 5 years in federal prison. The 63-month sentence for 26-year-old Reality Winner of Augusta, Georgia, is the longest ever for unauthorized disclosure to the media. Don't be surprised if your next bottle of Mr. Clean or Febreze dryer sheets has an LOL on the label. That's because Procter & Gamble has applied two trademark acronyms that are common in tech speak, including LOL, NBD for no big deal, and WTF. I can't tell you what that stands for. It seems the firm wants to use the acronyms in marketing and believes tech-savvy millennials are an important potential consumer group for its goods.
Wow. I'm trying to figure out a situation in which dryer sheets would have WTF on them. I mean, what the?
Don't go there.
And 22 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Welcome into Friday. Glad you're here. The American dream is starting to look a lot different. A new survey finds that gone are the days when Americans aspired to own a house with a white picket fence. More from MarketWatch personal finance reporter Maria LaMagna. Maria, what are we learning?
Yeah, so I looked at a new survey from MassMutual, and they asked more than 3,000 people how they are defining the American dream these days. And what really struck me was that the number one answer that people said was financial security for themselves and their family. That's what 82% of people said. And then, you know, the second answer was owning a home, which is, you know, more what we think of typically about the American dream. 75% of people said that they wanted to own a home. But it really struck me that the first answer that people were giving was a very simple answer, which was just financial security.
What's happening here?
So I think, obviously, the more that time has gone on, people have kind of reevaluated their priorities, and there's several things working at the same time. You know, we have a lot of credit card debt largely left over from the Great Recession. A lot of people have student loans that are, sky-high payments. And I think the burden of that is really catching up with us. And I think that's possibly why people are just saying, my number one dream is just to get out from under this debt.
We're speaking with MarketWatch personal finance reporter Maria LaMagna. Her story is called The American Dream is Getting Smaller. Not as many folks are looking for the owned home with a white picket fence, but nobody's saying don't go into debt to own a home or debt to get an education, right?
No, of course. I did speak with, some financial advisors, and they were saying that can definitely pay off if you are really smart about it and, you buy in an area where you think your home will appreciate, and obviously investing in yourself and getting some student loans can really be worth it if you end up seeing the fruits of that and making a high salary and having the connections that you need to get ahead. So it's definitely a calculated risk. I think the big question is just really asking yourself that before you get into the debt. I think what we see too often is people running up the debt without a real plan for the next couple of years. So I think if you really, really take that question seriously before you take any kind of debt on, whether it's consumer debt or a mortgage or student loans, you really have to do your research before taking that on, because it could be something that derails your plan. So it can really go either way, which is the scary thing.
It seems to make sense, but I'll yield to you on this. The reason we haven't been saving as much, say for emergency purposes, is probably because we've got this debt hanging around our necks.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, a lot of people answered that they have very little money saved for an emergency. You know, people say that they have less than $1,000 saved. Some people have, you know, about 1 to 3 months emergency expenses. And, you know, typically it's advisable to have about 3 to 6 months of expenses saved, and that's very rare. I think exactly for that reason, a lot of people are making minimum payments and getting really behind on their debts, and so they're putting all their extra cash toward the debt and not into savings. So it is a little bit scary, and I think we are seeing, you know, just the ripple effects of how bad the economy was several years ago and how deep into trouble some people got.
Thanks, Maria. MarketWatch personal finance reporter Maria Lamagne. I mean, just listen to some of these numbers and you can begin to figure out the premise of the story. Collectively, Americans have more than $1 trillion in credit card debt, according to the Federal Reserve. They have another $1.5 trillion in student loans. Motor vehicle loans are now topping $1.1 trillion. And they have another nearly $15 trillion in mortgage debt outstanding. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday, August 24. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Hurricane Lane taunts Hawaii with heavy wind and rain. Trump attacks Sessions and the AG fights back. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell speaks today about the economy and interest rate policy. Samsung's latest smartphone, the Galaxy Note 9, launches today. The camera on it can alert you when someone blinks during a picture. The NBA might reset the shot clock from 24 to 14 seconds after an offensive rebound. And the cop who adopted a dog rescued from a wildfire. That story in about 20 minutes. Here's a frustrating story about the lack of transparency with medical costs. For nearly a decade, Gunderson Health Systems Hospital in La Crosse, Wisconsin, boosted the price of knee replacement surgery an average of 3% a year. By 2016, the average list price was more than $50,000, including the surgeon and anesthesiologist. Yet even as administrators raised the price, they had no real idea what it cost to perform the surgery. The most common for hospitals in the U.S., outside of those related to childbirth, Wall Street Journal reporter Melanie Evans says they set a price using a combination of educated guesswork and a canny assessment of market opportunity. Melanie, this is crazy.
Yeah, that was, you know, we set out to sort of look at hospital pricing and, you know, what goes into the price of a hospital procedure. And where it led to was the sort of the point you just made, which is that when hospitals are kind of building their prices, they're using kind of these rough approximations or proxies, and they're kind of looking at a kind of a the level of an entire department, right? So I wrote about knee surgeries. They may be looking at the entire orthopedic department budget. And they don't get really specific about costs, which makes those costs really hard to manage.
You wrote the competitive forces are out of whack in healthcare. Hospitals are often ignorant about their actual cost. But there was one group in the story that really made an effort to find out what a knee replacement costs.
Yes. So in the course of my reporting, I ended up spending quite a bit of time talking with the Gunderson Health System, which is located in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Their hospital there does about 400 knee surgeries each year, and over 18 months, they sort of looked very closely at all of the supplies and people involved in a knee surgery. They just really tried to drill down on minute by minute what is the cost of essentially producing a new knee.
Boy, and so the list price, if I recall, was roughly $50,000, and by the time they drilled down and put pen to paper and came up with an actual cost, it was closer to just $10,000 or $11,000?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, so, you know, with list prices, they are, these list prices are public. In the state of Wisconsin, there's a database, which let me kind of look up, all right, so what are the average charges that this hospital has? Now, those charges, that list price, is often, well, it's one of several ways that hospitals and insurance companies, it's kind of one of several starting points when they negotiate the price, basically, you and I would actually pay, right? So the list price is, in some negotiations, it's the starting point. So insurance companies come to the table, they want less. Hospitals are, you know, basically trying to decide where, how much of a discount they're willing to give, and all that gets hashed out in confidential negotiations.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal hospital reporter Melanie Evans. She's written a piece entitled, "What Does Knee Surgery Cost? Few Know, and That's a Problem." So you mentioned, obviously, Wisconsin's cost here in this particular case. What's the range of knee surgery prices around the country?
Yeah, so this is really interesting. We looked at a couple of things. So there's not a lot of information, to your point, about hospital costs, right? So the hospital I looked at is one of a couple dozen that were part of a project where they all drilled down. Interestingly, they found that for knee surgery, which is a pretty standard procedure, after they kind of factored in things that might, things like different wages and patients that might be sicker than others, they found that actually the cost for this really standard surgery really varied. It was like there was some pretty significant differences, which raised the question why, and could the costs be at places where they're much higher, could they be lower?
Mm.
So interestingly, you also look at prices, and there is some great research that's been done looking at prices that the people who get insurance through their job pay. They are also, for this very standard procedure, all over the map.
It's Wall Street Journal reporter Melanie Evans. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday Beyond the Headlines now. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we've been hearing for some time now that the tight labor market is making it tougher for companies to find people to hire for open positions. That, however, does not mean that you can just punt your resume and hope to get a job. That lesson brought to us by CareerBuilder, which released its list of the most egregious resume mistakes and gaffes today as submitted by hiring managers. Some of the doozies include the applicant that listed having 40 different jobs in 1 year, the applicant that thought they attached a resume to an email but instead sent their full credit application for an apartment, an applicant that referred to having, quote, as many marriages as jobs.
There you go.
An applicant who listed out their extensive arrest history, an applicant's resume that had a different font type for every sentence, and the applicant that stated at the bottom of their resume that they do not like babies or puppies.
Wow.
The managers also say that by far the resume mistake that will lose you a job the fastest will still be typos and bad grammar.
Jeez.
Which apparently we all still do. They said 77% of these managers said that that's gonna get you booted as soon as they see a typo or bad grammar.
Is that right?
Yes. Still.
Because managers know grammar?
Well, that's the thing. I guess I guess if you're sending something in, you have to hope that the person reading the resume is not that up on their grammar.
Right. How about that? How about somebody who does not like babies or puppies,
yeah,
and including that on the resume?
Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, under special interests or something. Where do you put that exactly on your resume? What category does that go under?
Yeah.
Special skills.
Special skills you have. Like, I play a lot of cards by myself.
Right.
Yeah. That's why I don't like babies or puppies.
Right. And what, Gordon, is going on with the goats in this country lately? We've heard an unusual amount of stories this summer about goats on the loose in unlikely places. First, a few weeks ago, more than 75 goats and sheep escaped a New Jersey auction, believed to have been let loose by another goat that had escaped a year ago. Then, earlier this week, comedian Jon Stewart reportedly rescued two goats caught running around on subway tracks in Brooklyn. And today, we hear that sheriff's deputies in New Mexico captured a pair of goats that authorities said kept wandering into a laundromat. The San Juan County Sheriff's Office said in a Facebook post that deputies responded Tuesday to a report of two goats wandering around the laundromat in Kirtland. The post said the goats repeatedly wandered into the business before being chased out. The deputies were able to capture the goats and return them to their owner, hopefully, after they finished their laundry for the week.
Wow.
What is going on right this summer?
That is weird.
With the goats. It seems like hardly a day goes by that I don't see a goat story. Usually it's snake stories, alligator stories, but this year apparently it's goats.
That's crazy. Maybe it's all the references to sports these days.
Yeah.
You know, right. Goat, greatest of all time. Right. Maybe the goats feel that this is their calling.
Yeah, it's funny. The goat used to be the person who sort of lost you the game.
Right.
And now in recent years, the goat has become greatest of all time. So we hear about goats, whether you win or lose the game, there's a goat involved usually. Yeah.
I don't want to blow your mind away on a Friday.
Yeah.
But you helped create an image in my mind with this goat story in the laundromat.
Right.
How do goats fold clothes? That's what I'm going to leave you with on this Friday.
All right. Someone perhaps could Photoshop us an image of goats folding clothes. We'll put that on the website today.
Thanks, Mike. Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. If you want to take your business to the top, take it to a top 10 most improved state for business, Michigan. Contact michiganbusiness.org today. The open office floor plan may not be your favorite design, but a new study says it may have its benefits. Researchers at the University of Arizona say workers who sit in open office seating have less stress and greater activity levels than those who sit in private offices or cubicles. The findings indicated that employees in open seating were 32% more active at the office than those in private offices and 20% more active than those in cubicles. On top of that, workers who were more physically active at work ended up with 14% less stress outside the office. Bottom line, researchers conclude that an open floor plan may encourage workers to get up and move, and that increased activity may be driving their lower stress levels during after-work hours. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon sirens wailed while workers piled sandbags in front of hotels, and police blared warnings to tourists to leave the world-famous Waikiki Beach as Hurricane Lane barrels north after dumping nearly 2 feet of rain on Hawaii's mostly rural Big Island. Emergency crews rescued five California tourists from a home they were renting in Hilo after a nearby gulch overflowed and the house flooded. This resident is preparing for the worst.
I know how bad it can be, and yes, I'm concerned, because even if we dodge it, it's going to be a lot of rain, a lot of strong wind, and I'm fearing damage for my house.
Hurricane Lane is packing maximum sustained winds of 120 miles an hour, making it a Category 3 hurricane. Attorney General Jeff Sessions is firing back at President Trump after Trump said he never took control of the Justice Department. Trump criticized Sessions in an interview with Fox News.
I wanted to stay uninvolved, but when everybody sees what's going on in the Justice Department, I always put justice now with quotes, it's a very, very sad day. Jeff Sessions recused himself, which he shouldn't have done, or he should have told me.
In response, Sessions said, well, he's attorney general. The actions of the Department of Justice will not be improperly influenced by political considerations. He added that his department has had unprecedented success at effectuating the president's agenda. The AP is reporting that the National Enquirer kept a safe containing documents on hush money payments and other damaging stories it killed as part of its relationship with Donald Trump as the 2016 presidential election approached. That news comes as several media outlets are reporting that federal prosecutors have granted immunity to National Enquirer Chief David Pecker, potentially laying bare his efforts to protect his longtime friend, Trump. Bad news if you're looking forward to that glass of wine or mug of beer tonight to celebrate the end of the work week. A large new global study published in The Lancet confirms previous research that shows there is no safe level of alcohol consumption. The researchers say moderate drinking may protect against heart disease, But the risk of cancer and other diseases outweighs that protection.
Come on, really? Can we get this straight one way or the other?
This one looks bad.
It's ridiculous. Well, here's the thing. Just to use a play on words from your story, you said to celebrate the end of the work week.
Yes.
Start drinking Monday through Thursday.
That makes it okay.
Right? Yeah, I think makes it okay.
I'm with you.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. Just 2 weeks ago when the SPCA called police in Vacaville, California for help in evacuating around 60 dogs and some cats as the fast-moving Nelson fire threatened the area. Captured by their body cameras, Officer Carly Stone and others quickly evacuated all the animals within 12 minutes. But amid all the chaos, it was at one certain moment when Officer Stone met a dog named Sean. She lifted him out of his cage and outside to the safety of her patrol vehicle. Once all the animals were safe, Ms. Stone put two big dogs in her back seat and then little Sean in the front and then began evacuating residents in the area. She said Sean kept trying to sit on her lap a lot. She had to keep moving him. She describes his looks as similar to an Ewok from Star Wars, but became hooked on the two-year-old pup when he came over and stood up on the center console and put one of his little paws on her arm and wagged his tail. He apparently had been brought to the shelter originally as a stray. Ms. Stone says the next day she went in and adopted him. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.